Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sermon text for this morning comes from the Holy Gospel, Mark chapter 8. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, things are changing out there. I'm sure you've all noticed it. The air has got that crisp feel to it. The temperatures are dropping quite rapidly from a week ago. And the leaves are starting to get that beautiful bronze color to them. You know what all this means, don't you? It's hunting season. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning, I awoke to the sounds of gunfire on the distance. It's hunting season. Hunters are going into their basements and taking out those camo and blaze orange clothes. They're readying their weapons, and they're heading out to the woods in search of the big one, the 30 pointer. For me, this is a very special time of year. Some of my fondest memories came as a child with my father out in the woods hunting. When I first started, my father would take me out into the woods, and it would seem like we'd be walking for hours trying to find signs of deer. And then when we started to get close, his message to me was always the same. Follow my footsteps. Step where I step and stay as silent as you can. Dad found the path and led the way, and I followed along, doing exactly what he said, stepping where he stepped, and I was channeling my inner ninja, trying to be as silent and as stealthy as possible, so we could find that big buck. This morning, the Lord has a similar message for us. He tells us that the way in this life is going to be difficult. There's going to be problems that we're going to face along the way. Problems that we are going to face because we believe in Jesus Christ. But his message to us is always the same. Take up your cross and follow his footsteps. That's Jesus Christ. And if we do so, we have a promise from God that in the end, we will receive a prize unlike any other. As we've heard in the last weeks, Jesus was traveling through the region, but he hadn't had a whole lot of time to train his disciples one-on-one. We heard last week that Jesus took a detour for this exact purpose. But despite this lack of one-on-one time with Jesus and his disciples, the disciples were still being trained. They just might not have realized it. When Jesus was teaching and preaching and performing miracles for all of these other people, the disciples were there too. Jesus was the Mr. Miyagi to their karate kid, teaching them how to wax on and wax off, teaching them without them really knowing it. But now Jesus wants to give them a test. He wants to know what they have learned along the way. So he asks them a simple question. Who do people say I am? This first question was just meant to get the ball rolling, and the disciples answered. Verse 28. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. The answers the disciples gave varied. But the people that gave those answers all knew that there was something special about Jesus. He carried the true Word of God, and they could tell. But you can see a problem with their answers. All these men they listed were simply men. And that was their problem. They still thought Jesus was just a man. Now, this first question was just meant to get the ball rolling, and now Jesus got to the question he really wanted to ask his disciples. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? This was their test. Jesus wanted to know what his disciples, his closest friends and companions, the ones that had been with him from the beginning, hearing him teach and preach and seeing him perform miracles, he wanted to know what they believed. In essence, he's saying, "All right, guys, I want to know what you've learned." And Peter quickly replied, and he did so for the entire group. He said, "You are the Christ." What an amazing confession from Peter and the other disciples. They knew exactly who Jesus was. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised from of old. They had seen him perform miracles and heal the blind, cast out demons, and even tell the wind and waves to obey him. They had heard his teaching and preaching, and they believed everything he had said. He was the Christ. The word they used, that Peter used here, can also be translated as the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one that had been promised by the Old Testament prophets. That's who they believed that Jesus was. But Jesus does something very strange. Verse 30. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus told them not to go out and spread their confession. But why? Why would he do this? Wasn't this the whole reason that he came? So that people would come to know him and believe in him as their Savior and live. So why would he tell his disciples not to spread this confession? Well, that wasn't the point. Jesus wasn't telling them not to spread their confession. He was telling them not to use this specific term for him, the Christ or the Messiah. You see, people still had the wrong idea about Jesus. They still tied this term, the Christ or the Messiah, into an earthly ruler. They still considered the Messiah someone who was going to come to restore physical Israel and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. They still thought that the Messiah was going to be an earthly king. Jesus didn't want people thinking that he was going to be an earthly king, so he never used this term for himself, and he tells his disciples to refrain from using it as well. His mission was not an earthly mission. His mission was not to be a king of earthly people on this earth. He wanted his disciples to understand exactly what was ahead of him and ahead of anyone that followed him. Verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples understood what their confession really meant. His being the Christ didn't mean he was going to have an earthly kingdom and an earthly rule. It was just the opposite. He was going to be rejected. He's going to be rejected by the people that should have been welcoming him with open arms, the people that had been watching for him for thousands of years. He was going to suffer ridicule and rejection and torture from the people that he came to save. And in the end, he was going to face death. He was going to be killed. Peter couldn't believe what he was hearing. Jesus had just told them that he was the Messiah, so how could this be? We hear that Peter actually rebuked Jesus because what Jesus was saying didn't make any sense. If he was the Messiah, why would anybody reject him? If he was the Messiah, how could he suffer? How could he die? This didn't make any sense. So Peter took Jesus aside and said, "Jesus, you got to be crazy. You must not be thinking straight. What's really going on here?" And you see, as Peter's confession was the disciples' confession, so Peter's error was also the disciples' error. So Jesus turns away from Peter and turns back to the disciples, and then he turns it around on Peter. He rebukes Peter. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus turned around because all of the disciples needed to hear this. All of the disciples needed to understand that what Peter was doing was wrong. And what the disciples were thinking was wrong. Jesus rebuked Peter, but he didn't just rebuke Peter. He calls Peter Satan. And he does this for very good reason. Peter was tempting Jesus to lay down his work as the Savior of the world. That was the same temptation that the devil had put before Jesus at the very start of his ministry. "Jesus, look at what you can do. Look at who you are. You don't have to die. You don't have to go back up to heaven. You can live here like a king. Me and you together, we could rule the world. No one would be able to stop us." That was the devil's temptation for Jesus. One of them. And now he was tempting Jesus again, but this time he was doing it through one of Jesus' closest friends. He was doing it through Peter. But Jesus saw what Peter had in his heart. Peter didn't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Even Peter and the disciples saw Jesus as the Messiah and wanted him to rule an earthly kingdom. You see, Peter and the disciples had the same thing in mind that everybody else did, that Jesus told them not to spread this confession to. So now Jesus continues his teaching, but he's not just talking to the disciples anymore. He talks to everyone. Verse 34. "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Jesus laid out for everyone exactly what it meant to be his follower. Many people believe that when they follow Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, that the rest of their lives is just going to be on cruise control on the easy street. But Jesus tells them that's not the case. If the world denied him, rejected him, put him under torture, and killed him, they were going to do the same for his followers. Anyone that wanted to follow Jesus was going to have to understand what it meant to be a follower. So Jesus told them that they were going to have to deny themselves. That meant submitting themselves to God in everything. Their hearts, their wills, their bodies, their souls, their everything was to be submitted to God. They were going to have to put aside all of their earthly wants and desires. All of the things they wanted in this world, they were going to have to be prepared to lose. for Christ. And that wouldn't be it. Jesus tells them that in order to be his follower, they would have to take up their crosses and follow him. Now, when Jesus says cross here, he's not talking about the physical cross which he would die on, even though some of his followers would face that death. The cross Jesus speaks of is much more general. He's talking about anything that a Christian must suffer because of their faith. Trials and persecutions. Yes, even death. One of his followers would have to take up his cross, whatever it was, and follow him. That meant willingly suffering for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. Just as Jesus willingly walked up the hill to Golgotha. You see, this was the problem. The disciples weren't ready to deny themselves and all that they wanted. They weren't ready to take up their crosses and to suffer for Christ. They still wanted earthly glory. They couldn't even imagine losing their Savior. That's why Peter rebuked Jesus. They couldn't even imagine living a life without Jesus leading them. The disciples weren't ready to give it all up. They weren't ready to take up their crosses. But are you any different? How often don't we think that because we are followers of Christ that we should be on easy street? We should get earthly glory because we believe what is right. We believe that because we're Christians, because we have the correct faith, there shouldn't be pain or sorrow in our lives or hurt. There shouldn't be persecution. But only smooth paths. That's the way we feel when troubles come into our lives. We wonder why it has to be so hard for us when someone makes fun of us for our faith or calls into question our beliefs. We don't stand there and defend them, but we cave. Because we don't want to face that kind of persecution. We don't want them to make fun of us or call us names. When bad things happen in our lives, when we lose a loved one, or when we face sickness or bad health, we get angry with God and say, God, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be taking care of me? I'm one of your followers. We too, far too often, refuse to take up our crosses, whatever they may be. And because we refuse to sacrifice anything for Christ, we don't deserve what he sacrificed for us. We deserve for God to tell us, fine, you take your selfishness and you ride that horse straight into the fires of hell. But that's the beauty of Jesus Christ. Even when he knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem and on that fateful hill, even though he knew that you and me and all his followers would not faithfully take up our crosses at all times, but would reject him just to save ourselves, even though he knew all those times we would fail, he went to the cross. When we realize how depraved and dead in our sins we are, we follow his footsteps. And we see exactly where they lead. They lead to the cross. The Lamb placed one foot in front of the other, took up his cross, and went to that hill for you. He did that all for you. I think a lot of times when we don't want to take up our crosses and follow Jesus, it's because this is where we stop. It's the same place the disciples stopped, because this was such a shocking message that Jesus was going to have to suffer and die, that we don't hear the rest of what he says. We don't hear him say, "And 3 days later I will rise again." When we follow his footsteps to the cross and to the grave, we understand that the grave was not his end. But 3 days later, he rose. He assured us that he was that promised Messiah of old. He assured us that what he had done for us was good, and that it paid for all of our sins, and that when we take up our crosses, we have that same reward waiting for us. It doesn't matter what the world does to us because of our faith. They can persecute us. They can punish us. They can even put us to death. Because for us, this world isn't the end. We have eternal life waiting in heaven. And when we remember that, we gladly follow his footsteps and take up our crosses. And we follow him wherever he may lead. In this country, we are greatly blessed. Other places around the world, Christians are punished, put in prison, maybe even put to death because of their faith. In this country, we are free to worship and believe what we want to believe. So you and I don't have to face that kind of a cross. But make no mistake about it, there are crosses out there that you deal with every day because of your faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember these words of your Savior. Remember what he has done for you. Remember where his footsteps led. And take up your crosses and follow him. Take up your crosses and bear what you need to bear. Suffer what you need to suffer, because in the end, you know the prize that is waiting for you. They can take everything from us. They can take our property. They can take our loved ones. They can take our own lives. But they can never take our Savior. Follow his footsteps to the cross, to the grave, and to heaven. Amen. Please rise. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Amen. Let's join together in the creation.